Welcome back. We are up to Perek Ches, Mishnah Zion, Chapter 8, Mishnah 7. And the Mishnah is talking about the idea of when exactly a person, or where I should say a person, has to make the Birkas HaMazon. So ideally, we always try to bench in the place that we eat. But let's say you forgot to bench, and then you remembered 2 miles away, you were driving away. So let's see what the Mishnah has to say. Misha achal v'shachach v'lo berach. Someone who ate and they forgot and did not make a berakas hamazon. Beishamai amrim yachzer lemekomo v'yivarech. Beishamai say go back to the place that he ate so you can make the bracha there, the berakas hamazon. Beishil amrim yivarech b'makom shenizkar. But Beishil say no, you can make the berakas hamazon wherever he remembered, and he does not have to go back. Interesting, the Gemara talks about the idea of the tremendous positives to that will come to a person, or that are due to a person who ended up going back to the proper place. But officially, the Ikar Hadin, the halacha is, according to Beis Hillel, that one seemingly would not have to go back whenever he remembered. He should just bench in that place. Now, the famous question, how long do I have to say Berakas HaMazon? Meaning, once my meal is over, how long could I bench for? Not 72 minutes. That's not what the Mishnah says. It says until the food in his stomach has been fully digested. And that, according to the Mefarshim, is basically about 72 minutes. And that's how we get that magic number that everyone always talks about is from this Mishnah. Then finally, the last Mishnah of Perek Ches says the Mishnah Ches, Balahem Yayin La'achar HaMazon Ve'in Sham Ela Oso HaKos. The big question over here is whether or not one is obligated to bench over a cup of wine. So says the Mishnah again, Balahem Yain Lachar Hamazon Ein Sham Ela Oso Hakos. If wine was brought to them after the meal, and then there's no wine available to them, but there's just this one cup, he just makes a bracha on that wine, and he could drink it, and then he could say Berakas HaMazon afterwards. Meaning, you do not need to make a Berakas HaMazon over a cup of wine. First you make the Berakas HaMazon, and then you make the bracha over the wine, because you do need a cup of wine to make the Berakas HaMazon. That's Beis Hillel's opinion. And certainly we should all do our best to try to be careful for that opinion as much as possible. And finally, the chapter concludes. We've been speaking so much about different arguments of Beis Shammai, specifically, obviously, about brachos. So now we talk about the most important thing, as we know, saying amen to a bracha. We have so much time spent on the importance of making an amen to a bracha. So how exactly and when exactly can a person make amen to a bracha? So says the Mishnah, Onin amen achar Yisrael hamavarech. When a Jewish person makes a bracha, we say amen to the bracha. What's the chiddush over here? It seems like we're saying that, no, it's not obviously when he makes the full bracha, you make amen, you say amen, but it's that if you only hear half of that bracha, he says to himself, Barachat Hashem, Lakinim al-Kalam, and then you all of a sudden hear, Barim in name is Zonos, so you can say amen to that. But ve'ein onen amen achar hakusi hamavarech ad sheyishma kol habracha. But one should not be answering amen after the bracha of akuti, right? We spoke about them in the past. Akuti is someone who has like a questionable Jewish lineage. So you can't say amen after the bracha of this kuti unless you heard him make the entire bracha. Because unless you heard him make the entire bracha, you really can only you have to be concerned that maybe he was making a bracha to his gods or something. So therefore, you can only say amen to his bracha if you heard the whole thing and it sounds right to you. Anyways, that brings us to the end of Perek Ches. God willing, next time I'll continue with the final chapter of Maseches Brachos. Everyone should have a wonderful day.